Okay, we're beginning here at the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara now is going to discuss the last part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah discussing when a person had given the money and the Asham to different Mishmarot. So I want to know, Tana Rabbanan, Tana Asham Laho Yariv, he gave the Asham to the first Mishmar, V'kesef L'deyah, and he gave the Kesef to the second Mishmar. Yachzir, so what should we do with this? How do we solve the problem? So he says, Yachzir Kesef Itzel Asham, Devi Rabbi Yehuda. He says that we move the Kesef, we move the money back to the Asham, to the Mishmar that has the Asham. V'chamim armim Yachzir Asham Itzel Kesef. V'chamim say, no, the solution is to move the Asham to where the Kesef is. Hey Chidami, what's the case here? Ilei Medi'ayiv Le Asham Laho Yariv B'Mishmarto. That he gave the Asham to Yariv when it was their Mishmar, Dio Yariv, V'kesef L'daya, Bishmarto D'Yodaya. And he gave the Kesef to Yodaya at the time that was their Mishmar, Zezacha B'Shalo, Zezacha B'Shalo. Each one of them was in service when it was given to them, then why should we move it anywhere? It should remain where it is. So Amar Rava, the case here is, Hachal Ma'eskinan D'Yoyiv Asham L'ho Yariv, B'Mishmarto D'Yo Yariv. He gave the Asham to Yariv when it was their Mishmar, when they were in service, V'kesef L'Yodaya, Bishmarto D'Yo Yariv. And then he gave the Kesef to the Mishmar of Yodaya at the time that Yehoyariv was doing the service, meaning that he preempted, he gave it to them before they came up to do their Mishmar, and he gave them the Kesef. We saw that before by Rava, that the reason, or the, one of the questions that Rava asked is, if can he do that in an instance, the Gemara left this as a teiku, but in order, Yodaya was a smaller Mishmar, and that maybe if he had to get a pruta to teach one of them, it might have been a better situation for him to give the money to them. So Rava says, if that's the case over here, Rabbi Huda Savar, Kaven Delav Mishmeret Yodayah, since it's not the time that Yodayah is supposed to be servicing in the Mikdash, Yodayah continually, we're Kones Yodayah, and say to give it back to the Hoyariv. Give it back to the first, because they were in service, they got the Asham, so move the money to the place where the Asham is, who got it in a proper manner. Hilkach Gazir Kesef, Eitel Asham. Rabbanan Savay Shalokidin Hu Avod B'nei Yehoyariv. Why? What did Yehoyariv do wrong? What did the first Mishmar do wrong? Because the Kibla Asham Mikami Kesef. They took the Asham before the Kesef. We saw in our Mishnah that you first have to pay the Kesef, and then you bring the Asham. So over here, they accepted the Asham before the Kesef was here. That means they did it out of order. Hilkach B'didu Kantin and Lo. Therefore, we're Kones, the first Mishmar, who took it out of order, and we moved the Asham over to where the Kesef is. V'yachzor Asham Mitzel Kesef. Tanya. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi says, V'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, im kadmu b'nei Yehoyariv v'ikrivat Asham, if the Yehoyariv, the first Mishmar that got the Asham when they were in service, they went ahead and they were makriv the Asham before the Kesef got there, which is the improper order, then yachzor v'yavi Asham acher v'yakrivu b'nei Yehoyariv. The person, the individual, has to bring, in order to have his Asham work, has to bring it now back. He'll bring it during the Mishmar of Yehoyariv, because they have the Kesef, so once they have the Kesef, he needs to bring the Asham afterwards, entering their service. But Yehoyariv will be Zoche in what they did already. I mean, the Asham that they brought already, they will be Zoche in it. So when it says, Imri the Maichazi, what's this Asham good for? I mean, what do you mean they were Zoche in this Asham? What's this Asham worthwhile for? Asham Pasulu, it's an invalid Asham. The Asham's not good, because the Asham must be brought after the Kesef, so this Asham is before the Kesef, is a Pasul, an Asham Pasul. So Maravel Oro, that they get the skin of the Asham. Even though it's an Asham Pasul, they get to keep the skin of it. Tosus raises a question over here, because we see in other places that in order for the skin to be mutar, you need Zrikat Adam, you still need some sort of kashrut of the Korban in order to be matir the or for the Kohanim. Over here, it seems from Rava that they get the or, even though the whole Karban is going l'sreifa, that it has nothing to do, is no kosher Karban. Here is a totally Pasul Karban, and yet they are getting the they're getting the Oro. Tanya, Amar Rabbi, the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kiyem Asham, Yachzir Asham Itzel Kesef, that if Yehoyariv is not makriv the Asham, the Asham is still around when Yodayah makes it up there, then the Asham should move over to the Kesef, as opposed to what he said before, that the Kesef should move to the Asham. If they held on to the Asham and they were not makriv it, then it will move over to where the Kesef is. Ah, then Rabbi Yehuda himself say, Yachzir Kesef Itzel Asham. Islay, isn't he the one who says that the money moves to the Asham and not the Asham to the money? So why are you reversing that position over here? Says Achal Ma'iskina, and Rabbi says, what the case here is, Rabbi says over here, that's the case. Kagon the Nafak Mishmarto de Yariv v'lo tavu, that the mishmeret of Yoriah Hariv was there, and they did not ask Yodaya for the money. I mean that they were entitled to get the money, but they never claimed the money from them. There must be that they were mochel on the money, because they have the asham in their possession. They're entitled to get the kesef according to Rabbi Yehuda. The fact that they did not ask for the kesef is an indication to us that they're actually mochel on that kesef. If they're mochel on that kesef, then we're going to move the asham over to the kesef now. Tan yidach, we have another bright summer Rabbi, Ladivar Rabbi Yehudim, Kiyem Asham, Yaksur Kesef, Eitel Asham. That if the asham is still around, the money will move to the asham. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda says. Pshita. Right? Hacha Yisle. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the shalom here? So Hacha Maizkin, what's the case? Here comes the Nafik Mishmaratom, the Hani Vihani. It's a case where both Mishmarot passed and nobody made a claim. I mean, Yoyariv that had the asham never asked Yadayah for the money, and Yadayah, which had the money, never asked Yoyariv for the asham. So then, what would you have thought? Velo Tavu. They went past neither of them. Mao, the Tema Chule Gabe Hadade. We would think that they're each Mocha the other. Kamash Valan, Darmin, came into Velo Tavu, the Hadro Beresha. Since neither of them was Toveya, then we go back to the original circumstance, or the original state. What's the original state? Is that the Kesef, the money, moves over to where the asham is. So again, after the first Mishmar was there, they did not make a claim on the money, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the Asham will move over to where the money is, to Yadayah. If Yadayah, who has the money, also passes without making a claim on the Asham, then we revert back to the original state. The original state, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that the money always moves over to the Asham. So now, the Gemara says, or quotes our Mishnah, which says that you have to first bring the money, and then the Asham. Menahani Mili, how do we know that? Where do we know the fact that you have to bring the money, and then the Asham? Amarav Adamakra, Ha-Asham, Ha-Moshav La-Shem, La-Kohen, Milvad, Ela Kippurim, Ashayichaper Bo. So the Pasuk in, by Gezel Agerim, Bamidbar Perakei, says that you bring the Asham, Asham here being the Karen, Ha-Moshav La-Shem, La-Kohen, to the Kohen, Milvad, besides Ela Kippurim, the Korban that he has to bring here, the Asham, Ashayichaper Bo, Alav, Michlau, from this, the implication is that Kesef Bereisha, that the money comes first. First it's Hashem and Moshav Hashem. Milvad, besides the Ela Kippurim, besides Ela Kippurim means after the money has been brought, you also have to bring the Ela Kippurim. So Amar Omer Rabbanon LeRavavah. So one of the Rabbanon asked Ravavah, is that really true? Elimiato, every time you use the word Milvad, Milvad means afterwards, not prior. What are you going to do with the Pasuk which says Milvad Olata Boker? Hashem Olata Tamid. When you're talking about the Korban Tamid, it says Milvad, with all the other Korbanot, it says, by the Musafim and all that, it says Milvad Olat HaBoker. Aside, you bring all these other Korbanot, aside from the Korban Tamid. Now, if you're going to say Milvad means after, that means that first you would bring the Korbanot Musaf, and then you bring the Korban Tamid Shoshach, which is wrong. Then you're going to imply that the Musafim go before the Korban Olah. Vatanya, we have a brace that explicitly says that the carbon ola, the carbon tabid must be the first carbon of the day. Vatanya, minayin shalei davar kodem l'tamid shel shachar. How do I know that you should never bring any carbon before the carbon tamid shel shachar? Tamalomar, varech aleha haola. It says that you will bring on it varech aleha haola, v'amarava haola ola rishona. So that the haola means the ola rishona, that all other carbonot are brought on the first ola. What's the first ola? The Korban Tamid. That Ola is the first Korban, and then everything else comes afterwards. That everything else is built upon the Korban Tamid, or after the Korban Tamid. So we see that the Korban Tamid comes first, right? So how could you explain the word Milvad to mean subsequent, when we see Milvad Olat HaBoker still means prior to the previous one? Amalei Ana, Masher Yichaper Bo Nafka. I learned it out, Asher Yichaper Bo Nafklei V'adayin Lo Kiper. It sounds like what it says, Milvad Ela Kippurim. You have to bring the Korban, Asher Yechaper Bo Alav, right? That he will be Mechaper Bo. That ayah will be brought in order to be Mechaper him. The indication is that it wasn't brought yet. That means that first you have Hashem Mushav Lashem, first you have the Karen that's paid back, and then afterwards you have Ela Kippurim, Asher Yechaper, Chaper in the future tense. He will be forgiven through the bringing of the Korban. So that means the money was already returned, and now he's only bringing the Korban to gain kapara over here. So Natan lo et Karen. So it says if he gives the Karen without the Chomesh, it's not Ma'akev. Tarabana, minayim shem vi mi'ilato. V'lo hevi ashamo. How do we know that if he brings his mi'ilah and does not bring his asham, ashamo v'lo hevi mi'ilato, shelo yatzah, that doesn't work. Tamalomar. So this is a psukim that are found right before, in Vayikra Perikei, right before the Shvuat HaPikadon that we've been discussing until now, and the psukim right before that, it talks about mi'ilah, someone who gets benefit from Hekdesh. Someone who gets benefit from Hekdesh has to pay Hekdesh back, the Karen, plus a Chomesh, plus they have to bring a Karban, Hashem Mi'ilot. So I'll read you the Pesukim. The Pesukim are the Hashem Moshlimar, Nefesh Kitim Omal, V'chat'a B'shkagah M'kotche Hashem. By accident, they took God benefit from the Kotche Hashem, V'evit Hashemo L'Hashem. If they bring the Hashem to Hashem, El Tamim in Atzon, Berkacha, Kesef Shkolim, Shekol HaKodesh L'Hashem. V'et Asher Chata Min HaKodesh, that which he took from Hekdesh, Yishalem, he has to pay back the Karen, V'et Chamishito, Yosef Alav, then he has to add another fifth, which is Milabar, 25% on top of that, V'adol HaKohen, V'achkohen Yichaper Alav, Be'el Hashem, V'nistachlo, and then the Kohen will bring the Korban, and he'll be forgiven. So we see that in order to be forgiven from Eli, he has three things that he must do. He has to bring the Karen, the Chomesh, and the Nasham. So Mara wants to know, how do you know that if he brought the Mi'ilah, meaning that he paid the money back, but he did not bring the Asham, or he brought the Asham and he did not bring the Mi'ilah, that he did not bring the money, Shleitzah, that he's not Yotzei. Tamalomar Be'el Hasham V'Nislachlo. The Pasuk says, Be'el Hasham V'Nislachlo. El is the Karban, that's the Karban that you bring, and Asham, as we know from the Gezel Ager, that the word Asham means the Karen. So it's the Karban and the Karen, V'Nislachlo, and that's what gives them forgiveness. So it's both the Karban and the Kesef that are needed in order to bring the Karban. One by itself will not do it. The Karban by itself or the money by itself will not be sufficient. You need both of them in order to create the Slicha. So Mar says, "Minayim shevi ashamo actually vi mitamilato shlo yatzah." How do we know that if he brings the Hashem prior to paying back the money, that he's not yotzei? Similar to what we have by our case, where he has to buy gezel ager, that he has to beg. Tamal Omar be'il ha'asham. Right? It says that he has to bring the akon yichaper alav be'il ha'asham v'nislach lo. What's be'il ha'asham? Ha'asham bikvar. What does Hashem bikvar mean? That he already paid back. What do you mean Hashem? Hashem here meaning the principal, that the ayo that's coming a chova l'Hashem. The ayo is coming as an obligation for the Hashem. What's the Hashem? We said the word Hashem before, I meant the Karen, right? The actual payment. So the El Hashem is the ayo that comes along with the payment. So the payment's already done. And therefore, then the Hashem can be brought. Yocho, kashem sha'ayo v'Hashem me'akvim. I would think just like the ayo and Hashem are absolute requirements for it to happen. Kach chomesh me'akev. So too, the one-fifth will also be me'akev l'slicha. Tamad lomar be'el Hashem v'nislach lo. That the ayo and the Hashem are sufficient to create the slicha. That's what we learned before in the pasuk of Tamad lomar be'el Hashem v'nislach lo. The ayo, which is the korban. Hashem, which is the keren. Tuvdenem v'nislach lo. That creates the slicha. But that alone creates the slicha. You don't need the chamishito. You don't need the one-fifth to create the slicha. El v'yashem makvim b'hekdesh. Therefore, the korban and the karen are makiv for it to be forgiven by me'ilah b'hekdesh. V'en chomesh makiv, but the chomesh not makiv. When it says, v'lamed hekdesh me'hejot, v'hejot me'hekdesh. Let's learn out hekdesh from hejot and hejot me'hekdesh. Meaning gezel agir from me'ilah, me'ilah from gezel agir. Why? Hekdesh me'hejot. Where are we going to learn from hekdesh from hejot? Ma asham dahatam karen. Af Hashem Dehacha Karen, just like the term Hashem that's used by Gezel Ager refers not to the Karban itself, but rather to the Karen, to the principle. Af Hashem Dehacha, also the word Hashem that's used here in Me'ilah means the principle Karen. Behejot Me'hekdesh, and what are we going to learn now from Gezel Ager from Hekdesh? Ma Hekdesh Ein Chomesh Me'akev, just like by Hekdesh, the Chomesh is not Me'akev. Af Hejot Nami Ein Chomesh Me'akev, so too by the Hejot, by Gezel Ager, the Chomesh is not Me'akev. Seems that the Gemara earlier on learned this out from the word Hasham, that the fact that the word it says Hashem Mushav Hashem, that only that is required to create the Slicha, and not the Chomesh. Nevertheless, the Gemara here shows that that's the limit, that the Chomesh is not Ma'akev from the Perek by Kodshim. Tosu says over here, once we have this Hekesh between Gezel Ager and Mi'ilah, then we could have learned other things. Then why do we need a Pasuk earlier on to teach us by Gezel Ager that the Hasham has to be brought after the money? We could just learn that out straight from Hekdesh. We could learn it out from our case over here, which is El Hasham. We know that El Hasham teaches us that first you have to pay back the money to Me'ilah, and then you have to bring the Korban. So the same thing by Hejot. So Tosfa says that Ishlamar, that we need the psukim join us between Me'ilah and Gezel Ager, that there's some sort of thing something that is common between them. What is common between them? The money comes first, and then the carbon. Once we have that common denominator between them, then we're able to learn out different things one from the other. But we at least need some base commonality between them that allows us to learn one from the other, and that is the base commonality, that the money must be paid back before the carbon is brought. Okay, now we're beginning with the Mishnah that begins the 10th parak. The Mishnah begins, a gazel, u'machilat benav, someone who steals an item and then gives it to his children. The Mishnah seems to say, u'machilat benav, that they actually consume it. He gives it over his children and they consume it. Tosfos points out that that could be lav dafka. They don't necessarily have to consume it, because we're going to see in the Gemara in a second, the Rav Chisda sets up the Mishnah after Yeush, after the Balaam have given up hope of getting it back. So then you have Yeush plus Shinoi Rishut, because it moved over to the children. Yeush or Shinoi Rishut, then the children are not going to be obligated to return it to the Nigzal. So if that's the case, it would be lav dafka machil, that even if it was in their possession, they still would not have to return it to the Nigzal. Tosfos comes up as an alternative of two ways to explain it where it would be dafka machil. One way to explain that is to say that Rav Chisda holds like the opinion in the Gemara that someone who feeds his children who are somech al shulchano, someone who gives food to his children who are dependent on him for their livelihood or for their sustenance, that they are not considered shinei rishut. And since it's not classified as shinei rishut, you only have yeush here and not shinei rishut. So that would be the reason that if they're machil, if they eat it, they won't have to return it. He also gives another alternative, is that it's devar mesuyam. It's a thing that's obviously stolen. If it's obviously stolen, if it's still extant, if the item's still around, then the children would be obligated to give it back. Either way, that's the first case of the mission. The second case of the mission is, oh, yaniach lifneihem. He passes away. He stole items. He passes away. Now they pass down to his children. In both of these instances, peturim l'shalem. They have no obligation to return the item to the nigzal. Now, the last case in the Mishnah is, if it's something that has achrayut, then they're obligated to return it. The Gemara is going to give two possible explanations what achrayut means here. One possible explanation of achrayut means is davar mesuyam, something that is identifiably stolen, item which everybody knows is stolen, and therefore there's bizayon levihem, when the item's still around and they're using it, that people know that this is a stolen item, that's bizayon to their father, it's not kvod avihem. So for kvod avihem, we demand of the yoshim, or the children who inherited this gezel, to return it to the proper owner, to the nigzal. The other possibility is that achriyut here means achriyut nichasim, real property. And real property, the reason if they have real property from their father, they're going to have to return that, is because when a gazlan steals from the nigzal, he then, all of his property, all of his possessions become encumbered. There's a lien on all his property to return the gezel to the nigzal. So therefore, when he stole the item originally and he had property, his property became encumbered to the nigzal. When he passes away, that property passes down to the yorshim. So fine, when the object or the gezel itself passes down to the yorshim, they can't go after it, they can't get it, because there's yeush and shinei rishut, he can't get the actual object. But he still has a lien on the property. The lien on the property does survive the death of the gezlan. And when it passes down to the yoshim, you can still go back and take karka, because you can be govek karka that had an obligation from the time of their father. And that's why they'd be chayivim to lishalem over here. We'll see both of these explanations in the Gemara in a second. Now, Rav Chisda makes a statement. I'm Rav Chisda. Gazal velo niti ashua balim. If the gazlan, person went and stole something, but the balim did not give up hope of getting it back. Uba acher v'achalo. And then another person comes along and eats it. A third party comes along and eats it. Then, ratzami zegova. The person can choose who he claims or takes the item from. He can go to the original gazlan, the one who took it out of his possession, or he can go after the one who ate the item. Why? My time. As long as the balim don't give up hope of getting it back, then it's still in their possession. That means that it's not considered to be, when this person comes and eats it, it's not to be considered a gonev me a ganav, someone stealing from the ganav. No, he's stealing from the original owners. The original owner still has it, because he hasn't given up hope of getting it back. If he still has it, and you eat it, it's as if you stole it at that moment from him. So he can go after either one of the parties, the party that took it out of his possession, or the party who ate it or consumed it and destroyed it, because both of them took it out of his possession. So he can go after either one of them. So Gemara says, wait a minute, our Mishnah is not going to be simple for Rav Chisda. Why is that? It's not. A gozel machil benav, right, a person who steals and gives it to his children to eat, v'niach lifnehem, or in a case where he left it for them, p'turim milishalem, they don't have to pay it. Why not? Over here, you have someone who's stealing. He has the object. The object's still around. The gezel's still around. And then what is he? Who's eating it? His children are eating it. If his children are eating it, then the person should be able to go after, the nigzal should be able to go after either party, either the gazlan himself or his children who consumed it. That's the position of Rav Chisda. So how does Rav Chisda deal with our Mishnah? Where it says, no, Brahman lecha Rav Chisda, ki tanya hi lacha yush. Our Mishnah is a case of after Yayush. Meaning my position, Rav Chisda says, is only before Yayush. Before Yayush, you can go after either party, the gazlan or the one who eats it. The Mishnah, the Mishnah is a different story. That's after Yayush. After Yayush, you don't have a right to go after the person who ate it, the person who consumed it anymore, and therefore the children are off the hook here because their father stole it. He was the gazlan. But after Yayush, when they come, when they've eaten it, that has no bearing. They're not gazlanim anymore. They're not parties that you can go after. They're not defendants in the case that you can go after to get your item back. Now the Gemara says, okay, imeniach lifnehem b'turim l'shalim. If he left the item, and the item is now, he died, and the item's there, and they inherit it, they're b'turim l'shalim. So I'm Rabbi Chama Zoto Merit. From our Mishnah, we can conclude, reshut reyesh k'reshut lokeach tami. That our Mishnah is a case, or teaches us, that when you transfer ownership from the father to the children, meaning that when he passes away and they are yoreish, they inherit their father, it's the equivalent of having a lokeach, having a buyer come in and buy the item. I mean, there's actually a change of ownership. Why is that important? Because why can't the nigzal go after the children over here? Why can't the nigzal go after the children here is because there's what's we called a kinyan. There's a kinyan that takes it out of the possession of the nigzal. How did that happen? Well, he had yeyush. We know that Rav Chisda just explained to us that we had yeyush in our Mishnah. So the Baum gave up hope, but that's not enough. Yeyush by itself is not enough to create a kinyan. You also need what's called shina reshut or shina hashem. So over here, how did we get the shina reshut over here? Shina reshut happened when it passed from the father down to the children. So now I have yeyush v'shina reshut. That's a kinyan. And the children are koneit. The children are koneit, then it's theirs, and the balim, the nigzal, has no right to go after the children to get that back. They didn't steal it, so he has no right to go after them. The person he could go after is the gazlan. The gazlan's not around anymore. He passed away. So now they own the item because they're koneit with Yehush Vekshina Rishut, and then the nigzal has nobody to go after to get his object back. Rav Amar, no. Rishut Ro Yoresh Lav Kirishut Lokeach Tami. That when it passes from a father to a child, when the Yoreshim pick up the item, that's not like a Lokeach, that's not a Shina Rishut. Well, if there's no Shina Rishut over here, then why are they Patur Mi L'Shalim? If there's no Shina Rishut, that means that it still belongs to the original owner. If it still belongs to the original owner, then the Yoreshim themselves are the ones who are stealing it now. They're taking it out of possession. If they eat it, if they do anything with it, they're the ones who are stealing. Why shouldn't they have to pay? So that's what God says. How come I skin it? Kishachlum. They ate it. They consumed it. They ate it. So now when they ate it, the item is no longer around. So if the item was around, we could say, listen, there was a gazlan came, stole the item, and then he passed down to his children. Now we have Yerush, but we don't have anything else. So he can get it back if the item's still around. But once they've consumed the item, no longer exists, they're not going to be obligated to return the item to the nigzal, because they weren't the ones who stole it. Mer says, and we'll come back and ask, we'll explain this, or how this reconciles with Chista in a minute. How makes Tani safe? The Gemara says, wait a minute, the safe of the Mishnah says, Imhaya davar sheish b'achrayut chayvim l'shalim. That case in the safe says that if it was a davar sheish b'achrayut, what is yesh b'achrayut? Well, so now the Gemara is assuming that the explanation of achrayut means a davar misuyam, something that is an obviously stolen item. If it's something that's obviously stolen, then you are chayav to repay it. What are the implications from that? The implication from that is that the item is around. If the item's around and it's an identifiable object that's being stolen, then you are chayav to l'shalim. But if it was around and it wasn't clearly something that was gazel, then you would not be obligated to return it, even though it's around. So how's Rava going to explain that part of the Mishnah? Michlal, the Begreisha, Begzela, Kayemetaskin. It sounds like the first part of the Mishnah is also talking about where it's around, it's just not something that is obviously a stolen item. So Rava says, Don't explain achrayut here to mean achrayut, that is a devar misuyam, something identifiable as a stolen merchandise. It says, imeniach lehem avihem, achrayut nechassim chayavim l'shalem. Explain achrayut not to be devar misuyam, but rather property. If their father leaves them real property, then they are obligated to pay. Why are they obligated? So we explained that in the Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah, if he has real property, that property was encumbered to the nigzel at the time that the gazlan took the item. Once he took it, right away, that property comes encumbered. And when he passes away, that lien remains with the property. Since that lien remains with the property, he'll have to pay it back even after the death of the father. I mean, the yosomim or the yorshim will have to pay this back to the nigzal because his lien predated the death of their father. And he'll have to go, once he has a lien on that property, he can come and claim it even after the death of the father. So where it says, Vaha matni le Rebbe, the Reb Shimon Brei. Didn't Rebbe, when he's explained to Reb Shimon, his son, our Mishnah, he says, don't explain lo davar sheish b'achoriyut mamash. Don't explain achoriyut in our Mishnah to mean achoriyut real property. Ela afilu parav choresh bav chomor mechamer acharav. Even a parah, a cow that he is, or bull that he is plowing with, right, or chomor, a donkey that he's driving with a load on it, chayavim lechzir. They have to return it, mipnei kvod avihem, because of the kavod of their father. Meaning that since it's an obviously stolen item, if it's an obviously stolen item, then it's a pgia in the kvod of their father. If people are walking around, people see them, look, oh, his kids are using this item that he stole from so-and-so. So we tell them to return it because it's a davar misuyam, it's an identifiable stolen object. So we see that Rebbe does not explain, when he was explaining to Rebbe Shimon, he does not explain the Mishnah like Rava did. El Amma Rava, Rava says, no, Kisha Chivna, when I pass away, Rebbe Oshin Nafik Levati, Rebbe Yoshi is going to come out to greet me, the Tarita Matnitin Kavate, because I explain the Mishnayot like he does. The Tani Rebbe Yoshi, so we have a Braisa in which Rebbe Yoshi explains, or explicates on our Mishnah, and it's clear from him that he learns Achrayut in the Mishnah like the way Rava did. What is that? A Gozel Machilat Banav, someone who steals and gives it to his children to use. Paturim l'shalem. Over there, they are paturim l'shalem. Hey niach lifnehem. Then, if he passes away and the object's still around, gezela kayemet chayavim. If the gezela is still around, then they're chayav to return it. Eina gezela kayemet. If the gezela is not around anymore, paturim. Then they are patur. Hey niach lahem avim achriut nechasim. Right. So, if his father left over achriut nechasim, left over property, real property, then chayavim l'shalem. So you see that Rav Oshi explains achriut in our Mishnah to be achrayut nechasim, real property, and not achrayut being davar mesuyam, a clearly identifiable stolen object. So, as opposed to the way Rebbe explained it to Rebbe Shimon, his son, the Mishnah, Rav Oshia has the Mishnah explained the way Rav did. And Rav says, I'm going to learn the Mishnah like Rav Oshia, and that will work well for me. Because I believe that there is no Shinoi Rishut over here. Since there's no Shinoi Rishut over here, therefore, if the item is still around, then they've got to return it, because it's the still the owners, even though there's years, there's no Shinoi Rishut, then the Yoshim have to return it. On the other hand, if they consumed it and it's no longer around, they're Petuim, like I say, Kishachlum, once they've eaten it, then there's no obligation on them to return it because they weren't the ones who stole it. So they're not obligated to return it. On the other hand, if there's property, real property that came from their father, even if it's consumed, they're going to have to return the item because the property was encumbered to the Nigzal. It was their lien by the Nigzal on this property, and they're going to have to, therefore, they're going to have to pay back, or he can go and seize the property for his Gezel. So that's the way Rebbe will explain it according to Rebbe Oshia. Now the one question we have to ask over here is, wait a minute, we had before Rav Chisda made a claim that what? That when you have two parties that come and steal an item, as long as it's still in the original owner's possession, then either one of them can be the defendants, or the Nigzal can go after either one of these parties, the one who stole it from him or the one who ate it. Now how come over here, when we talk about the case of Rami Bar Chama or Rava, actually when he says that Rishut Yerish, Lavka Rishut Lokeach Dami, that means that what? That our Mishnah is a case, according to Rava, where there's only Yeush. There was only Yeush over here. There was no Shinoi Rishut, because when Yoshim get it, they're not like Lochim, and then there's no Shinoi Rishut. So we have solely, what we have here is solely Yeush. If there's just Yeush over here, why should that make a difference? Meaning that the only way for a Kinyan to take effect is with Yeush, plus Shinoi Rishut, or Shinoi Hashem. But Yeush by itself is not sufficient to create a Kinyan. And therefore, when the Yoshim come, according to Rava, and eat it, Kishachlum, when they eat it afterwards, why are they Peturim? They ate something that belonged to the Marakama, that belonged to the original owner. If it belongs to the original owner, why can't the owner go after the Yoshim? So how does Rav Chisda, or how does this square away with what Rav Chisda said before? Rav Chisda said before that if it's in the original owner's possession, then any of the party who stole it or the party who ate it, it's going to be Chayav. That's exactly what we have here. In the case, there's Yeush. Our Mishnah is a case of Yeush. So there's Yeush, but there's no Shinoi Rishut, because Rava believes that it's not Kirishut lo keach dami. And therefore, when they Yoshim eat it, it's still in the original owner's possession. Why should it be Chayav? So Tosfos asks this question, and Tosfos answers it up and says, you know what, even though you're right, that in order to have a full Kinyan, you need Yeush v'Shinoi Rishut, nevertheless, that Yeush does have an impact. Even according to Rava and according to Rav Chisda, Yeush by itself will have an impact, even though it's not sufficient to create a Kinyan. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says over here, U'misvara mechalek Rav Chisda ben lifnei Yeush ben achar Yeush. Rav Chisda misvara differentiates between before Yeush and after Yeush. Lo havi kol kach bishut marei. Achar Yeush k'mo lifnei Yeush. Then after Yeush, there's a somewhat of a diminishing of the ownership of the original owner over the item. Because at this point, he's taken one step closer to allowing the item to leave his possession. Meaning that in order to leave his possession, you need two things to happen. You need Yeush, plus you need Shinoi Rishut or Shinoi Hashem. But without Yeush, then we can't go anywhere. Now, once the Balim have given up hope and they've already had Yeush, we're now one step closer that easily it can leave his possession. As soon as you have Shinoi Rishut or Shinoi Hashem now, it'll leave his possession. So since he's already taken that step forward, it's as if it's left his possession enough that someone who steals at this point is not considered to be stealing from the original Balim. So now we can understand Rav Chisda's position. Rav Chisda says that when it's before Yeush, then it's really totally in the possession of the original owner, the Nigzal, the Balim, and therefore if someone comes and eats at that point after someone stole it, then they both are equal opportunity litigants here that the Nigzal can go after. No, otherwise, but on the case where it's after Yeush already, you've already diminished the ownership of the original Balim, diminished it enough to the point, or to the point that you can't go after someone who steals it afterwards. It means someone who eats it afterwards will not be considered liable or a party that the Nigzal can go after. And that's our case here in our Mishnah, according to Rava. We're here with the Yorshim. They come ahead, they inherit something from the father, the one who stole it. It's after Yeush, as Rav Chisda says. Our Mishnah is a case after Yeush. If it's a case that's after Yeush in the Mishnah, then already we've diminished the ownership of the original owner enough that when the Yorshim eat it, kishachlum, they're not going to be held accountable, they're not going to be considered gazlanim, and we can't go, the Nigzal can't go after them as parties, and that's why they're Pturim over here. They're Pturim because it's after Yeush. So that's an important distinction over here, despite the fact that Yeush by itself is not, Yeush Kadi is not sufficient to create a kinyan, but it is enough to change the dynamic of the stolen object so that it's not considered or classified to be in the possession of the original owner, even though it has not entered into the possession of the gazlan or the Yorshim at this point in time. All right, now the Gemara continues, Amar, based on the verse of Roshia, Eina Gzela Kayemet Pturim, that if the Gzela is no longer extant, then you are Patur, the imp. So that name, Itavio Tiyufta Rav Chisda, that should be a problem for Rav Chisda. Why should it be a problem for Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda said before that in a case where Lo Nityashu Abalim, when there is no Yeush over here, and someone else comes and consumes it, right, and takes it, then they are Chayavim. Over here, Ein Gzela Kayemet Pturim. If the Gzela is not around, then they are Patur. That means that they took it, meaning that it was left to them by their father, and they did something to it that it's no longer existing over here. So why aren't they equally on the hook here, like their father, the Gazlan? According to Rav Chisda, both parties should be on the hook. Says Ein Amitiv to Rav Chisda, should be a problem. Chisda, Rav Chisda, Ki Tanya Hi, Lach Yeush. I have no problem. I'll explain the Brisa of Rav Oshia as being after Yeush. Just like he explained our Mishnah as being a case of after Yeush, I'll explain the Brisa of Rav Oshia also being as after Yeush. Once you're after Yeush, there's nothing to talk about. If the Yorshim at that point consume it after Yeush, they're not on the hook anymore. As we just explained, according to Tosafot, that after Yeush already it's out of the purview, it's not totally owned by the original owner, and therefore when the Yorshim consume it, or they somehow get rid of it, and it's not Kayemet anymore, then they're not going to be held responsible. We can't go after them as the Gazlanim. And that's why, in Gzela Kayemet, Pturim, Amar Gzela Kayemet, Chayavim Lashalim. Rav Oshia's Brisa says that if the Gzela is still around, then they are Chayavim. Name a type to the Rami Bar Chama. This would be a problem for Rabbi Chama. Why? What did Rabbi Bar Chama say? Rabbi Bar Chama said that our Mishnah is a case where you have Yeush. It's after Yeush. And we have Shinoi Rishut. Why do we have Shinoi Rishut? Because Rabbi Bar Chama believes that the Yorshim are the equivalent to a Lokeach, equivalent to a buyer. Since they're equivalent to a buyer, now we have Yeush, Shinoi Rishut, and that's a Kenyan. The Yorshim made a Kenyan in it. Why can the Nigzal come now and make a claim and ask them for the item back? It's not in his possession anymore. They took it. They're not the Gazlanim, but it's out of his possession. Wait a minute. Kitanya ahi, lifnei Yeush. According to Rami Bar Chama, no. Yeushia's Brisa is a case before Yeush. So since it's before Yeush, then all we have is Shini Rishut. We don't have Yeush. When you have just Shini Rishut without Yeush, then we can't say that there's a Kinyan over here. So in that case, we can explain the Brisa of Rav Oshia. In the case where the item's still around, there was only Shini Rishut, no Yeush, then we say, give it back to the Nigzal. It's still his. You gotta give it back to him. He never gave up hope of getting it back. It's not in your possession, Yorshim. You're going to have to give it back to them. If they eat it already, if it's not there anymore, then the obligation to return to ancient exile, that's not an obligation on the children. Meaning that if the item is extant, if it's around, then the children have to give it back. But on the other hand, if the item no longer exists, they have no obligation to pay money for an item that doesn't exist. They weren't the ones who actually stole it. They were the ones, they got it from their father and then they consumed it. They had no idea that it was even stolen item. So since they have no obligation to turn, and therefore they'll be Pturim Milish Shalim. On the other hand, if it's Achariyut Nechasim, again, as we said before, if there's Achariyut Nechasim, if there was already an encumberment on the father's property prior to the death, then that property will be, can be taken by the Nigzal. So it'll turn out that Rav Chisda will learn the Brisa of Rav Oshia after Yeush to support his position, and therefore, when it comes to being patur, why are they paturim milishalim? Is because it was after Yeush. After Yeush, the person who eats it is not chayav. And if it's still around, then why do they have to give it back? Because if it's still around, it's after Yeush, it's a case where there is no Shinui Rishut. You'll hold like Rava, that there is no Shinui Rishut. If there's no Shinui Rishut over here, then it's just Yeush without any Shinui Rishut. They gotta return the item to the original owner. And he'll learn Achrayut Nechasim, like we saw that Rava did. Achrayut Nechasim means the real property, the encumberment of the real property. The real property is already encumbered prior to the death. If that's the case, then they can go after the property that the Yorshim hold, because it was really the property of the father that was encumbered in exile. On the other hand, Rami Bracham will say, no, the whole Brisa of Rav Oshia is Lifnei Yeush. And they'll be disagreeing, or they'll be arguing about whether it's the Brisa of Rav Oshia is explained according to Rami Bracham Lifnei Yeush, and according to Rav Chisda, Achar Yeush. Okay, we'll stop over here.